This week, I'm going to be exploring a divine idea whose time has come. It is the idea of co-creation. Now, this is a term that we are beginning to hear more and more in our modern spiritual vocabulary, this idea of co-creation. But oftentimes, I think that we sort of take things for granted and we don't really stop to ask, what does this thing called co-creation really mean? And that's what I want to do today, is to explore this principle. And one of the things that I know is that it is often suggested that the idea of co-creation is about creating some sort of a partnership with spirit that will bestow upon us a superior creative ability or power. Now, obviously, that is part of it, and there is truth in that, but I don't believe that that really captures the essence of what co-creation is all about. Because this idea of co-creation is really something that fits into our own spiritual evolution, which means the evolution of our human consciousness. And it is really an aspect of that evolution, because it involves a state of consciousness. You see, co-creation is not a technique. And our tendency in our modern culture is that we're always looking for techniques on how to do things, this sort of do-it-yourself mentality. And we're all looking for secret mantras or some piece of esoteric knowledge that is going to transform our life and make everything wonderful. That's not what co-creation is about. Not really. Because co-creation is the state of consciousness that unfolds through the process of healing. It is the state of consciousness that arises when we come into agreement with others, when we come into the consciousness of consensus. And the thing is, when I begin to talk about healing, I am really talking about the state of our relationships in our lives. And so consequently, in order to explore the process of co-creation, we really have to begin by exploring the process of relationship. And what I want to do here to start things off is to look at the two primary relationships that we have in our lives. The first is the vertical relationship that we have with spirit. And it's really more than vertical, and I use that only to illustrate the principles, because it's really about the relationship that we have with the divinity within us. And in religious science, the divinity within us is what we call the principle of Christ, which is the light and the love of God within our human souls. So that is the first aspect of relationship, this relationship between our human personality and the divinity within us, this vertical relationship. And then there is a second kind of relationship, which are the horizontal relationships that we have. And those are the relationships that we have with each other in the world, our human relationships. And I would suspect that that's where most of our problems arise. That by the time we have come here, that we already have established some sort of a relationship with our own inner divinity and the spirit that dwells within us. And it is usually in the world, in our human relationships, where all of our difficulties tend to arise. And what we need to realize is that both of these relationships, our horizontal relationships and our vertical relationship, are already perfect. They are absolutely, totally, and completely perfect, and they already exist. And the process of healing is the process of revealing that perfection in our experience of life. It is about releasing all that we have projected upon those perfect relationships so that they can operate freely in our experience of life. And I think that this is where some of the confusion about co-creation comes in, because many tend to think it is about creating some sort of a relationship with spirit that doesn't already exist. But the truth is that we have always been one with spirit. We always will be one with spirit. There is never a time when we are not. And the only thing that changes over time is our awareness of that oneness that we already have inherent within us. Our relationship to spirit and our relationship to others is already in a state of unity and perfection, and it is just simply through our spiritual practice over time that we gradually come into a fuller and a greater awareness of that perfection and that oneness. So from that perspective, you see, we are already co-creating with spirit. It's just that we are doing it, for the most part, unconsciously. Because when you consider it, I mean, how in the world did you create your nose and your toes and everything in between? That it was part of that co-creative process that is already operating through you, creating your entire experience of life. And it is this unconscious co-creative effort that forms our worldly and horizontal relationships, for better or for worse. And so what is important here is to recognize that there is a relationship between the horizontal and the vertical relationships. That our relationship with spirit affects our relationship with others, and our relationship with others affects our relationship with spirit. We cannot change one without changing the other. So when we are in conflict or in upset with another person, that we call upon spirit to operate through, to bring its healing power into that relationship, and to the degree that we heal that human relationship, then we in turn have an even greater awareness of the power of spirit in our life. So that there is a reciprocal relationship that is operating between those two aspects of our being. Now, everything that I've said here is just to emphasize something that the Christ told us 2,000 years ago. That we should love God with all of our heart, the vertical relationship, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, that horizontal relationship. And that is because love is the awareness of oneness. That is the true state of all of our relationships. And so co-creation is simply what happens when those relationships are in harmony, the vertical and the horizontal. Co-creation is the awareness of oneness that we have with spirit and with each other. Co-creation is what happens when we are in the expression of love. Because when we are in the consciousness of love, spirit then simply creates and expresses through us conditions, circumstances, and relationships in the world that express that love that is already within us. And that is what co-creation is all about. Now, when we look at this at the level of principle, as I've been doing here, it all seems pretty straightforward and simple. But let me tell you, there is a great demand that is placed upon us by the co-creation process. It does not suggest, it demands. And what it demands is that we must take responsibility for doing our own spiritual work. We can no longer afford the luxury of a grudge. We no longer can accuse our neighbors of ignorance or wrongdoing, because we must be responsible for healing whatever upset that we experience in our life, because it is always related to some dark spot in our consciousness that has not been fully understood or realized. And so, through the process of co-creation, we must learn to live as love in all of our relationships. And that is the great demand of the process. And it is difficult work, I will be the first to admit, but it can be done. And I know, because I have done it, and I'm still in the process of doing it. And it's taken many years, and it's taken a lot of support. And the place where I got that support was right here, in this spiritual community. I was provided with the inspiration, the education, and all of the loving support that I needed to learn how to live in the process of co-creation. And as I was preparing this talk, what I came to realize as I started looking at the nature of my life today compared to what it was, you know, several years ago when I first came here, I came to realize that I no longer have to deal with difficult people in my life. Wouldn't that be wonderful? The only thing is, I still have to deal with difficult me every single day. But as long as I am willing to do that, as long as I am willing to take the responsibility and deal with difficult me, I don't have to deal with difficult people in my life. So what happens is every day I am challenged to make that shift from me to we by surrendering my resistance to love. And what I've come to realize is that all of the difficult people that I have known in the past have been my teachers. They have been the ones who have taught me how to love. So that is the very essence of what the co-creation process is really all about. In fact, it is written right on the front of our bulletin here every week, because the co-creation process is about growing together in our experience of love. That's what it's all about. What I would like to do next is to sort of go back to something that I spoke of earlier, and that is this idea of spiritual evolution, or the evolution of consciousness, because co-creation is an important part of that unfolding of human consciousness. And in many ways, co-creation is a way of living in the world whose time has truly come. And to understand this, I think we need to go back 30 or 40 years and look at what our culture was like at that time. So if we go back into the 50s, it was a time when if somebody had a good idea, people lined up behind them to follow. And whoever had the best idea or best ideas simply became the leader. And at that time, we lived in what could be called follow the leader consciousness. And then, in the 60s, something began to happen. Something changed. And it had to do with those doggone baby boomers. They started having their own ideas. Because what happened is we began to enter into an era of personal creativity, the era of self-actualization. And people began having their own ideas. And not only that, they began to challenge the ideas of their leaders. They began to say, hey, I don't like your ideas anymore. I have my own ideas about the way things should be. And so we entered in at that time, in terms of our evolution, to what we could call challenge the leader consciousness. Sort of our spiritual adolescence, as it were. And if you don't think that challenge the leader consciousness is in full bloom in our culture today, I would invite you to turn on your TV and look at the news and see just what is going on in our governmental and social institutions today. And it's not something that's just happening in Washington, D.C. or in Sacramento, but it's happening at every level of our culture, right down to the local PTA. That we are in this state of consciousness where people, for some reason, have difficulty agreeing. That everybody has their own ideas that they think are better than everyone else's. In some of the mystery teachings, this is referred to as the war of all against all. I simply call it gridlock consciousness. And this is what we're living in today. But it is an auspicious sign. Because what it does, it heralds right now the fact that we are on the threshold of the next step in our conscious evolution. It is the next step beyond personal creativity and self-actualization. It is the movement from challenge the leader consciousness into what I refer to as loving leadership consciousness, which is when we surrender our resistance to love and let spirit be the leader in our life. So what co-creation is really about is this movement that is taking place in our culture today, that is the movement from law to grace. So one of the things that I think that is helpful for us to understand about this shift is to first explore a little bit the nature of personal creativity or self-actualization, which is what I call the path of action. And the path of action leads to improvement in our life. There is no question that working in this state of consciousness has allowed us to improve the conditions and circumstances of our life. And the foundation of the path of action is courage. Because what happens there is that we get an idea, and then we take action on that idea, and we have the courage to face whatever challenges we may encounter along the way that are necessary in order for us to bring our ideas into expression. The next step, though, beyond personal creativity is this idea of co-creation, which is the path of healing. And the path of healing leads to newness. And there is a difference between improvement and newness. Because an improvement is just a better version of what we have already experienced. That we make something that we already have into something better. When I talk about newness, what I'm talking about is things coming into our life beyond anything that we could have imagined or conceived in our present state of consciousness. And this is what newness is about. This is what the path of healing is about. And the reason for this is that the foundation of the path of healing is faith. And whereas courage operates in contradiction to fear, faith operates through the dissolution of fear. That as we dissolve the fear within us, in a very miraculous fashion, we dissolve the obstacles before us. So consequently, as we enter into this process of co-creation, we enter into a way of doing things where we remove our challenges before we take our action, and things become easy to do. Co-creation doesn't eliminate the need for action. It simply takes that action to a higher level of being, into what the Taoist called the principle of wu-wei, or effortless efforting. That when there is no fear, it is always easy to do whatever it is that we need to do to bring forth our highest self-expression. So through the path of healing, the path of co-creation, instead of just changing the shape or appearance of our life, we are engaged in the process of literally transforming this substance or the quality of our life. And that process takes place within us always. So the question now is, how do we make this shift? How do we move from this old way of doing things? Do we make this shift from the path of action to the path of healing? Well, the first thing is to simply realize that the shift needs to be made. And then the second step is to have the intention to make it. Now, one of the reasons why there seems to be so much confusion and chaos in the world at this time is that most people don't have the slightest idea that this change needs to be made. And they wonder why the old way of doing things no longer works. So So the first and most important thing is for us to realize that this shift is taking place and have the intention to make it. You see, because there are many, many roadmaps that are available to us for the path of self-actualization. The bookstores are full of books about how to do that. You can even buy programs off of the television that will teach you how to improve your life. And these are all valid and legitimate, and they do work. But when it comes to co-creation, to moving into that next step, which is the path of healing, there is very little that is available to us to show us the way, because we're really working on the leading edge of this. It is something new for us. Now, the principles of it are given in the sacred scriptures, so they've been around since the beginning of time. But how to apply those principles to our modern lives, that is the struggle that we are going through at this time in our culture. And that is one of the really important things that this church and this community has to offer us, that this is a place where we can explore that process and we can begin to engage in that process and make it a part of our life. Because you see, one of the difficulties of what I see going on in the world is that everyone knows that we need to heal those horizontal relationships, but when you don't have that vertical relationship available to you, it's impossible. You can never get agreement in the world without the intervention of the divine, without connecting and surrendering into your own spiritual nature. And so that is why in a spiritual community we can investigate and explore this process to a degree that we cannot do in our ordinary life. But yet the healing that takes place here we carry out into our ordinary day-to-day life. It changes us and it changes everyone around us. So it is a very, very important work. So what is happening as we explore this in this community, gradually we're developing some of the forms and the practical applications that we can use. And one of the most practical of all the applications of the co-creation process that is before us today has to do with the selection of a new minister. And I'm sure by now most of you know that Reverend Marsha is going to be leaving us before the end of the year. So we are confronted here now with this great opportunity to use this process of co-creation to draw into our midst a new minister that can facilitate the highest expression of this spiritual community. Now, I have had the opportunity over the last 2 or 3 years to work with a number of churches in this very area. And for the most part, I've been called in to work with churches that have really been stuck in terms of trying to create a new minister. And what we're really talking about is creating the experience of a new minister. Because there might be only one minister, but I guarantee you every Sunday there are 200 to 300 different experiences that are taking place around that one minister. And so that is why we engage in this what I call the new minister co-creation process. And this is what we are going to be doing over the next 2 or 3 months. Because one of the things that I have found in working with these other churches is where they always get stuck is because of the hidden conflicts that exist within the collective consciousness of the congregation. And most recently, I worked with a church where half of the people on the selection team were not even sure whether or not they wanted a new minister. So how hard would it be to select a minister when you don't even think you want one? But as I went in and I worked with these people, what I found was that those individuals who weren't sure if they wanted a new minister were all people who had had some bad experiences with ministers in the past. So consequently, what they were doing is taking those bad past experiences and projecting them onto any possible future minister. It's what is known as the recreation process. See, the recreation process creates sameness. The co-creation process creates newness. So the first step in working with those people was to heal those old past experiences so that they could be released. And what we had to do is we had to reframe or redefine what the word minister meant in the context of that congregation. Because for those people, when they heard that word, what they felt was those past experiences. And so it didn't feel good and say, well, I don't want to minister because it's going to make me feel that way. And so once we could engage that healing process and transform that, and we took the word minister and we changed it from a buzzword to a sacred word that invoked a positive and inspirational response in them, then they could move forward in the process of selecting someone. Because it's not so much a selection process as it is a healing process that then simply draws newness into your experience. So, in terms of what we're going to be doing here together, is going to be a co-creation process, and it's going to be about healing our past experiences, and it's also going to be agreeing on some of the greater possibilities that we can imagine for this beloved church. And the most important thing that I can emphasize is that this process has absolutely nothing to do with Reverend Marcia. It's not about her at all. It's about us as a congregation. And it's about our collective experience that we have had, both positive and negative, with ministers, priests, rabbis, and any other form of religious or spiritual authority or leadership. And I spoke to one woman after the first service this morning, and she came up and she says, you know, I've never had a bad past experience. And that's absolutely true. For some of you, all of your experience has been positive, so this is the opportunity to expand what is positive within us. And if there is something that is still lingering, that still needs to be healed, this is an opportunity to heal it. And what was ironic was that when I mentioned, well, often what comes up are issues around abandonment, and she went, uh-oh. Because that is one of the main issues that tends to come up whenever we lose someone who's important in our life and moves on. So if that is something that you need to work on, this can be a great opportunity for that healing. And this is one of the reasons why Marcia is leaving in the way that she is without just suddenly quitting, that she is staying with this church until we have co-created together through a process of healing the experience of a new minister. So what I'd like to do is just briefly go through some of the steps and the things that are going to be taking place here. First is, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be holding a series of small group meetings, which will essentially be our co-creation teams as well as our service teams, that they're going to be getting together in small groups to engage in a dialogue about the new minister in order to share their hopes and their fears. And then on August 20th, the facilitators of all of those small groups are going to be coming together for a one-day process that I am going to be facilitating. And they're going to essentially bring forward everything that they have captured through the small groups. And the outcome of that work is going to be to produce a church profile, which is a description of our church and our vision for a minister. And this will be published in a newsletter called The Open Pulpit that goes out to all prospective ministers. And what I want to emphasize is that what gets written out as our church profile is not nearly as important as the process by which it was created. That the words are not going to do anything for us. It's the process by which we have come together to agree on those words that is going to make the difference. And so what happens is, once that church profile has been published, we will receive applications from ministerial candidates, and they will be screened by a selection team, which is made up of 3 members of the church board and 3 members from our co-creation teams. And that Sunday talk, and then they will participate in a fireside chat experience here where you would have an opportunity to talk to them and ask questions and so forth. And so that is going to be open to everybody, anybody who wants to attend, and evaluation sheets will be provided at each one of those experiences so we can capture the sentiments and the feelings of the congregation during that experience. The candidates also will be interviewed by the board, and they will be interviewed by the selection team. And then finally, after everything is said and done, the selection team will make a recommendation to the board, and then the board will have the responsibility for the final selection. So that is sort of a brief overview or outline of the process that we are going to be engaging in over the next 2 or 3 months. And like I said before, the most important thing is the opportunities for healing. Now, if you are not on a service team or a co-creation team, and you want to get some, or you want to create an opportunity here for some interaction to ask questions, obviously, if you want, you can join any of those teams, but you can also participate in a fireside chat that we're going to hold after the service today, where if anybody has questions or needs to express something about this, this will be an opportunity, and what I will do is I will provide you with some of the worksheets that these other groups are going to be using, that you can take those and work with those, and I can explain how you could use them to create some healing opportunities for yourself. So I would hope that that through what I've said today, that you have a deeper understanding and hopefully a deeper appreciation of how profound this idea of co-creation really is, and how it's going to facilitate us in drawing into our experience a new minister. And what I want to reemphasize is that the co-creation process is a process of healing. And that great elixir of life that produces wholeness and healing is love. And what I know is that to the degree that the collective consciousness of this church is imbued with that divine quality of love, whoever becomes our new minister will simply become an expression and a reflection of that love. And that is the way that the co-creation process works. So what I'd like to do at this time is to invite you into a inner guided process, a healing process. And this is going to be about surrendering our resistance to love. And if there is something in your past experience with religious leaders of any type, I would invite you to use this as an opportunity for healing that. But you can use it for an opportunity for healing any relationship that you have in your life right now. So let us simply go within. And bring your awareness to the pattern of your breathing. For indeed the breath is that eternal cycle of reception and release. It is the activity of God in us. It is the movement of spirit within us. And so use your breath right now as a pathway to your heart. And let your awareness gently drift down into the region of your heart, so that you will have this opportunity to begin to see with the eye of the heart that is the eye of love. And so I would invite you now to place your right hand upon your heart to anchor your awareness in the source of your love. And next, open your left hand and let it rest upon your knee and hold it open in a gesture of giving. And now, within or in front of the palm of your left hand. Bring into your awareness an image or symbol of some person who has created upset or unhappiness in your life. Once you can see this image, try to feel the effect that this person has upon your being. If possible, try to magnify those feelings to their maximum intensity. And now, within this fertile field of feeling, energy, repeat these words after me. O radiant God, O giver of life, I surrender my resistance to loving this person before me. And even though I may not know how to love them, I am willing for you to love them now through me. I am grateful God is gracious. I am grateful God is love. Amen. Now imagine, in whatever way seems appropriate to you, the love of God flowing from your heart into this image before you. See this image surrounded and imbued with your warm and loving presence until it dissolves into the radiance of that all-pervading life that is the love of God, handed now by you to them. And in this consciousness that is the love of God, let us know this simple truth, that there is no other presence acting in our experience of life except for that all-pervading, self-radiant life that is the life of God, the one life in which we live and move and breathe and have our being. And I know that the nature of that life is love, in that each of us are individualized centers of expression for the love of God. And I know that as we are willing here today to surrender our resistance to love, then so indeed do I know that that indwelling presence responds to us, and it comes forth by expressing through us its unconditional love, which is the true and inherent nature of our being. And so it is that I know that each of us here today are blessed by the love and the light of the indwelling God, the living God that is the Christ in us. And so it is that I give thanks in knowing that this is so. And as I let go and let God be the only presence acting, I know that each of us is blessed and healed and prospered this day. So be it now. Amen.